think we sometimes wish that it would be a little different. We get somewhat cynical sometimes when we receive a phone call, perhaps more likely a letter from our favorite Jewish organization with which we are affiliated, which we happily join. We receive a communication and we hope that it's something that's going to inspire us to greater levels of Kedusha, that's going to boost our spirituality. And 9 times out of 10, or more, what's the purpose of the communication? They want a donation. They need money. It's easy to get cynical because that sounds to us like something more materialistic, something that's not what we're looking for when we're a part of the organization. We're looking more for inspiration, for lofty spiritual idealism. And the truth is, as we know, this is a very old tradition. It goes back to the Torah itself. In this week's parsha, so we begin the construction of the first Jewish institution, at least in the physical sense. We begin the construction of the Mishkan. And right away, the very beginning, the first thing we do is the pitch for the donation. There isn't even any smooth talking, it's not buttered up at all. Right away, the first line, Daber al b'nei Yisrael, v'yikhu li truma. We need donations. It's even the name of the parsha. Parsha is called Donation. This week we read Parsha's Donation. It's not very subtle. And perhaps it's possible sometimes to feel a little bit cynical about it. And the truth is, we know that that cynicism is external. But deep down, we do recognize that this is very much connected to the Kedusha that we seek. But it's worth reminding ourselves sometimes of how, because it is possible to feel that disconnect. Now, we're probably familiar with a widely quoted comment of the Beis Halevi at the beginning of the parasha. The Beis Halevi notes that the language of the Yikchu Li Truma seems a little bit off, that Kicha refers to taking. If you want somebody to give you something, you should use a different word, the Yitnu Li Truma. Why are we telling people to take when we're asking them to give? And as the Beis Halevi explains, that if one really wants to hold on to his money, one really wants to hold on to his property, there aren't many things he can do with it that will guarantee that he will hold on to that property. Whatever you buy with your money is not going to last forever. Whatever investment you put it in is also not going to last forever. The only way you can make sure that you're actually taking your money in a permanent sense is if you use it for a mitzvah, if you use it for charitable purposes, you donate it to tzedakah, so then that becomes an eternal part of your zchus, of your soul. So the only way we can really say kicha, we can actually take our money, is paradoxically to give it to a holy purpose. And we understand that's true on a spiritual level. We understand that when we talk about zchus and we talk about our neshama, that that's true. But it's also true on a practical level. It's also true on a very real life level in terms of how we perceive ourselves and how we perceive our mission towards those around us. We talk about tzedakah. So one of the dominant halachos in tzedakah, the Meiri writes, this is perhaps one of the most important halachos in all of Hilchos tzedakah, is we have a principle of aniya yircha kodman. That we start first with those who are closest to us. And there's a whole discussion on why that is. Why should we prioritize those who are closest? What difference does it make? There are those who suggest maybe it has to do with ein ma'avir in ala mitzvos. We don't want to pass up earlier opportunities for later opportunities. If we're going to look to give to those farther away, that's going to be ma'avir in ala mitzvos. Others point out that's unlikely the case. The Torah quotes machlokas between himself and the Ribar Baruch, that the Ribar Baruch says that one who is next to you right now, even if he's coming from somewhere else, that's called Aniya Yircha. And the Torah disagrees. The Torah says Aniya Yircha means really those people who are closest to you in a lasting sense. And it seems that the idea behind Aniya Yircha Kodmin is one that really taps into the basic concept of Chesed and Tzedakah and how they play out. and the realization that there is essentially an emanation from the center that goes towards those closest to us. Rav Shimon Shkap, who once upon a time was a Rebbe in this yeshiva, Rav Shimon Shkap has a comment that's also widely quoted in the Hakdama to his Sefer Shari Yosher, where he notes that the Pasuk, in the beginning of Kedoshim Tiyu, Parshas Kedoshim, the Torah tells us Kedoshim Tiyu, and he discusses there what it means to be Kadosh, what does it mean to be holy if we're seeking spirituality and holiness, so what does that mean to be connected to spirituality? And there he explains that to be Kodesh means to give to others, means to be willing to put the needs of others within your radar screen, within your attention. And in the context of saying that, so he explains Hillel's statement in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, where Hillel has the famous comment, "Emein ani li mi li v'chashani la'atzmi ma'ani." So if I am not for myself, the way we normally translate it, it represents somewhat of a tension. We have two different things that we're balancing. On the one hand, if I'm not for myself, no one else is going to take care of me, so I have to worry about myself. But on the other hand, "Kishani la'atzmi ma'ani." If I'm only for myself, then what's the big deal? That's nothing, so I have to worry about everyone else. That's somewhat of a tension, somewhat of a balance between two ideas. And Shimon Shkap explained that really it's not so much that there are two opposing thoughts, but it's really one thought, that it's really one continuum. That yes, it's true as human beings, as opposed to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who doesn't have these limitations, but human beings, their Kedusha is limited because they have to worry first about themselves. They have to take care of their human needs. So yes, it's true, im ein ani li mi li, if I am not going to be for myself, nobody else will be. But at the same time, we can pay attention to that word ani. The word ani doesn't have a set meaning, but it can be interpreted in many different ways. It can mean me, the individual. It can mean me and my family. It can mean me and my community. It can mean me and the Jewish people. It can mean me and the entire world. It can be expanded depending on your perspective of the word ani. And therefore he says, when we say yemein ani li mi li, yes, that's true. You have to worry about yourself first. But at the same time, you can try to define ani in the broadest way possible. Because otherwise we'll say, kishani la'atzmi ma'ani. If ani just means me, the individual, la'atzmi, so then what's the big deal? That's not so impressive. If we're able to define it in a more expansive sense, if we're able to broaden our net to include as many others as possible, so that's when we really grow. And therefore, the idea of Ani Yircha Kogmin presumably emerges from notions such as this, that Chesed and Staka, first they start with the Ani, but the way in which we take into account the needs of others, the way in which we join the larger group in terms of our sensitivities, in terms of our compassion, in terms of that which worries us, so that's where we grow, that's where we become more Kadosh, that's where our spirituality actually increases. And we do have a tremendous tension. To be able to broaden that ani can be very difficult because we're always talking about limited resources. Whether it's money or time, they're both tremendously limited. And they're especially limited at the stage of life we find ourselves in during the college years, the yeshiva years, the smicha years, these years of primary education, focused education. It's very difficult to be able to define the ani in a broad sense. There's a tremendous need to focus on one's own development. That is certainly appropriate. In terms of money, for sure, so most of us in the college and smicha stage don't have very much money to spare to give towards great causes, nor do we have the time. We have the need to direct our focus on our own emergent, urgent needs, our own personal finances, and our own personal growth. And therefore, the balance, on the one hand, is tilted more towards a narrower ani. But at the same time, it's specifically because we are forming our identities that it becomes even more crucial to try to keep our eye on the goal and to try to make sure that we are aware of the need and the desire to become more Kadosh, to expand that perspective to the degree that we can. And it's particularly tough because as individuals who are devoted to the study of Torah and devoted as well to these ideals of Chesed and Staka, so we're trying to balance two things at least, both of which are infinite, both of which are endless. The Mishnah tells us in the beginning of Peah, Ve'elu dvarim she'em lahem shir ha'peah v'abikurim v'arayon v'gemilos chasodim v'talmud Torah. And the Shagas Aryeh in his Sefer Turi Evin to Maseches Chagiga comments that there's a difference between the five things that are listed in the Mishnah, not all the same. So the first three things, ha'peah v'abikurim v'arayon, you say ve'em lahem shir, it means that we don't have an upper limit to how much one gets involved. But when it comes to Gemilas Chasadim and Talmud Torah, we say Ein Lahem Shir, we mean something completely different. What we mean is that there is inherently never a Shir, because they are by their very nature infinite. By their nature, they could involve our entire lives. The need is always there. There's always the pull both towards Torah and Chesed. There will always be more Torah to learn, and there will always be more who could benefit from our chesed and from our tzedakah. So we're trying to do the impossible. We're trying to balance two infinite items together and fit them both into our lives. And part of the infinite nature of these two components, yes, it's true that they are endless and their need is endless, but also they're not limited to actions. Neither Torah study nor chesed is really about an act of Torah study or an act of chesed, but they're more about life perspectives. They're more about defining our identity. Focus on chesed for a moment. That's our topic tonight. So we find that chesed is called the Derech Hashem. We're told to follow the Halachta Bidrachav, or when Yisro tells Moshe to tell the Jews to teach them the Derech Hashielchuba, the path that we walk on. So that's called the path of chesed. And some explain the Sefer Tiferes Siyan and the Sefer Sot, he comments, it's called Derech because it's not an act, it's a path. It's an entire life. So therefore, we need not only to do acts of chesed, just as we need not only to learn, but we need to create a mentality where both Torah and chesed is ingrained in our perspective in the world and is a part of everything we do. So therefore, even when we have competing factors, we still try to squeeze everything in. The Pasuk tells us in Mishlei that one who finds a way to squeeze in chesed, rodev tzaka b'chesed, yimsa chayim tzaka b'chavod, that somebody who chases after fitting in a way to do tzaka and chesed will find life and charity and honor. And therefore, as the Maharam Shik points out in his tshuvas, that we see that even if we have a little bit of an extra effort to make, even if it's a little bit harder to fit everything in, the need to create a personality where we are chasing after chesed and tzedakah is such a great need that we go that extra mile. I tell a story about the Chaim Ozer Grzinski. Rav Sternbach has this in some of his svarim. A few other svarim have the story as well. That Rav Chaim Ozer Grzinski was once hosting somebody in his house in Vilna, and it happened to be Sukkot. So this guest was staying there for Sukkot, and Rav Chaim Ozer himself was sick at the time. So he wasn't eating in the Sukkot. It was a chol apatim in a Sukkot. But the guest was not sick. The guest was well. So the guest was eating in the Sukkot. And while he's eating in the Sukkot, all of a sudden he sees that Rav Chaim Ozer shows up in the Sukkot in order to be with him. And the guest raised the objection that, the Rebbe, you're sick, you're apatim in a Sukkot. You should be upstairs in bed. And Rav Chaim Ozer responded, says, yes, I'm potter from Asuka, but I'm not potter from Achnas Asorchim. Yes, the Achola is exempt here from this obligation, but Achnas Asorchim is still an obligation. And by which he presumably means that it's not a real chiyuv for somebody to pull himself out of bed if he's not well enough to eat in Asuka. Presumably he's not well enough to be obligated in Achnas Asorchim either. But he's recognizing, he's trying to teach and to live the life here, that the benefit that one gains from engaging in chesed and keeping that perspective alive is such a great benefit that it's worth pursuing even when it's especially difficult. And this is something that we find the Gemara tells us in Maseches Bava Metzia on Daf Lamed Gimel. There is a whole discussion over there, there's a little preview for next year's Maseches. The Gemara talks about the obligation of Hashavas Aveda, and the Gemara says that there are times when a person is exempt from Hashavas Aveda. If it's going to cost more time and money, for example, to return the object, the finder is going to lose more in time and money than the one who lost it is going to get back. So there are situations when a person is exempt. That's true. But still, the Gemara says that nonetheless, that kol hamakayim atzmo b'kach balidei kach, that whoever is too medaktik in exempting himself, whoever is too careful or looks too hard to find the exemptions, so ultimately they're going to come to that situation themselves. And Rashi says that's what it means, that a person who looks too hard to find exemptions, so then he himself will find that he is nitzrach labrios, that he himself is going to be on the receiving end of chesed, or need to be on the receiving end of chesed. And what that means, presumably it can be read in a number of ways. It could mean that people seek inappropriate exemptions, that people really aren't pater and nonetheless exempt themselves. Or presumably it means that even when one legitimately exempts himself, if one does this all the time, let's say every time a situation comes up with Hashavas Aved or every other chesed, so he has an excuse, maybe each excuse is legitimate. But if you have a life that doesn't have any engaging in chesed at all, so then you're missing something so fundamental, that becomes a very serious problem. And it could also mean on another level that this is a reflection of the fact that all Klal Yisrael is connected, we're all one unit, so we're meant to feel the suffering and the pain of others. And if we feel that pain and we respond to it, that's one thing. And if we don't, Chalila will feel it somewhere else. We're going to have to come into contact with it to some degree or another. That if one is too careful, one is too medactic to exempt himself from chesed, he's going to find himself encountering it on one end or another. So therefore all of this comes to remind us that even when it's very difficult for us and we have appropriate priorities in other places, we have appropriate necessity to focus on ourselves, certainly at this stage of life, and in every stage of life we have a priority to worry about our own needs. But at the same time, because it's such a fundamental part of our personalities and our necessity of a worldview, we work to try to make sure that at least the ideal of chesed, if we can't engage in it too much, if we can't give too much money, we can't give too much time, but we can keep it on our radar screen, we can keep it within our perspective. The halacha tells us, based on a Gemara Masechas Moed Katan, that even though we say the general rule is ha'osek b'mitzvah patur min ha'mitzvah, when it comes to Talmud Torah, it's a little bit more complicated. Somebody who's involved in Talmud Torah is patur from some mitzvos and not from other mitzvos. He's patur from mitzvos that can be done by others, and he's not patur from mitzvos that won't be done by others. So when it comes to the interaction of Torah and Chesed, it's a little complicated. So on one level, can these mitzvos be done by others? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Sometimes they won't be done by anybody else. Sometimes they will. Sometimes the feeling will be that, okay, if I'm not going to take care of this, somebody else will. But chesed, as we see, has a number of components to it. It has the component of addressing the needs of those who are suffering, but it also affects us. It also affects our core perspective, our connection to the klal, our sense of kedusha. And if we're missing that, if we never engage in any type of concern for anyone else, so even if technically speaking we may be pater, so that's not efshar la'asos le'idei acherim. That's not something that anyone else can do for us. It's necessary that we maintain that perspective, that we keep that as part of our worldview. So how we do that, there are many different ways, there are many different perspectives, there are many different ways to make sure that this is something that continues to be a part of our mentality. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a famous tshuva where he says, even within one who is learning all day and should be learning all day, so still a percentage of the time, it talks about a meiser of time, 10% of that time should be spent learning with others, that there is the chesed even within the Talmud Torah. Any way in which we do this is crucial so that we have this continued awareness that we are part of the greater cloud. Tonight we begin Rosh Chodesh Adar, where our slogan is Mishenichnas Adar, Marbin B'Simcha, and we have the mitzvos of Purim very much on the horizon. And out of the mitzvos of Purim, so of course half of the four mitzvos are about giving, Shalach Manos and Matanos Levyonim. And when it comes to Shalach Manos, so we're familiar with the perspective of the Manos Halevi, the author of L'Chadodi of Shlomo Al-Kibetz, that the reason we have the mitzvah of Shalach Manos is in order to counter that which Haman said about the Jewish people. Haman called the Jews scattered and dispersed and therefore vulnerable. You can get rid of them because that's their nature. They're scattered and dispersed. And the Manos Halevi says, therefore the Megillah tells us that we have to engage in Shalach Manos to undo that, that we have to connect ourselves to each other, that we have to reach out in order to see ourselves as part of the klal and as connected one to the other. And the Chassam Sofer points out in his Tshuvos that if that's the rationale, if that's the reason, so then it stands to follow that even somebody who doesn't support himself, even somebody who's somech al shulchan acherim, who doesn't have a lot of extra money in order to give tzedakah to anybody else because he himself is being supported by others, Nonetheless, that person would also be obligated in Shalach Manas to some extent, at least on a token level, because that necessity to be connected to the greater Klal continues to be a imperative no matter where you find yourself in that. So therefore, it's worth remembering, we started off talking about the Mishnah, Emein Ani Li Mi Li, Ruch Hashani La'atzmi Ma'ani. Sfas Emes has another observation which is particularly relevant, another interpretation of that Mishnah which is particularly relevant, again, at this stage of life, when we're during our education and we're forming our approach to the rest of our lives ahead. The Sfas Emes notes that one could read the Mishnah saying that yes, Emein Ani Li Mi Li, that yes, it's true, I have to work on myself, I have to develop myself, because if I don't, nobody else is going to do it, and nobody else can do it, because only I have my unique potential and my unique abilities to contribute to the world. But at the same time, we have to recognize that that's a large part of why we're doing it, to contribute to the world. Because as the Mishnah goes on to say, Kishani la'atzmi ma'ani, that if I'm going to develop myself, but I'm going to do it in a way that leaves me isolated by myself, but I'm not going to contribute this developed potential towards anyone else, so then what am I accomplishing? What does that do for anybody? So therefore we recognize once again the continuum, that yes, Emein Ani Li Mi Li, Kishani la'atzmi ma'ani, this is all one perspective, this is all one idea, and that's yet another way to keep this ideal, to keep this mentality within our perspective, within our radar screen, so that we recognize what it is to be a part of the greater Klal, what it is to have that Kedusha, to have that mentality that Rav Shimon Shkop described. And if we keep ourselves aware of that, if we remind ourselves of that, with whatever ways we can do that, whatever little actions we take in order to make that a priority, so then maybe we can counter our cynicism to some degree. And then the next time we get that call, we get that letter, we recognize that this is, in some sense, the holiest of all. Thank you very much.